Welcome to Hands at the Table. I'm your co-host, Jeff Bramhall. Alongside fellow massage therapist, Boris Aranyi, this podcast shows massage therapists how powerful our profession can be. We believe that as a craft and as a profession, massage therapy is only limited by a therapist's imagination and willingness to put in the work. By sharing what we're learning, what we're working on, and what's captured our interest, we hope to broaden your perspective, inspire you to set your standard high, and invest in your craft. Thank you for joining us. And welcome back to Hands at the Table with Bori and Jeff. We are finishing, finally, the hiatus we've taken for most of the past year as things have started to settle down for both in both of our lives. We've had each of us has had a pretty interesting time. So welcome back to Hands at the Table.
We are so happy to be live again and doing this again. It's been a long time, and I don't think the hiatus was planned on. So, but the coming back is now. So it's happening.
Yeah, I don't think either of us planned it. And then I look back and I see the title of the last two episodes that we published. One is called Recharging the Batteries, and the other one is called Taking Time Off. Ellipsis. How? I have a feeling that we might have been a little bit cooked then, but
it was coming. I guess it was coming. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That makes a lot more sense now.
Yeah. Yeah. So now that we're back, one of the things that we'll do in our new episodes here is we're gonna be working pretty diligently to keep the episodes a little bit shorter than they were. We used to have the old episodes had some pretty broad ranges. I think our interview, mm-hmm. our two-part interview with Eddie, I think ended up being about an hour and a half each. We've had some episodes that were 6 minutes long and spanning pretty much everything in the middle. So as we come back, we're going to take a lot of what we've learned over the past couple of years and apply it to where we are today. And some of the great feedback that we've gotten, which is kind of centered around, hey, keep it a little bit tighter. I think things work out pretty well. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, we wanted to just do a quick reintroduction because over the past years, a lot of things have changed. And, you know, one of them that I'm excited to talk about and I think I might be more excited to talk about it than Bori is what it's like to do what she's doing right now, which I think most of the folks who are listening to this podcast, most of you out there have never considered what it would be like to do what's happening right now. So with that as a long preamble, Bori, what are you up to?
What is happening? Well, nothing new. So back to you, Jeff. No, I'm just kidding. Well, so as you all probably know that I moved back to Europe and moved back to Hungary and I started my practice there. And the biggest change right now is that I'm expanding into new horizons as in professionally and also team-wise. So what I'm doing right now, instead of being just a solo massage therapist, which was super fulfilling and I love doing it, but every once in a while I kind of felt the need that I want to work with people and I feel alone all day and I kind of want somebody to take over when my work is done with a client or when I get stuck with somebody or if I feel like they need something else. It's like I need other professionals around me that we can kind of work together and we can build a team. So right now I'm building a new health center in Budapest, building the team. Now I'm not building the building. I'm not there yet, but I'm creating a new health center in Budapest that will be a true holistic center in the meaning of coming from spanning the range from traditional conventional medicine, like medical personnel, like we're going to have an orthopedic surgeon, all the way to energy medicine, energy healing, psychotherapy, family constellations, Reiki, and everything kind of between. So I'm kind of between. I'm the person in between, basically. But this is a center that I'm trying to build. And it kind of came together because I know people here. So it was easier to do it here, people that I know and trust. So that's the big picture, what's happening right now. So very, very exciting times. Yes.
So as you start to think about that, you'd shared with me before we were talking about about the different ways that these modalities are thought of in Hungary. There were a couple of really specific things about language that you told me about, and that pertaining to mental health, things like that I found just fascinating. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so it's a little bit different, like how you know how in the States these things are kind of spliced up too, like the scope of practice, little bubbles are next to each other. And here in Hungary, it's a little bit different, like the scope of practice is a little bit different for everybody. So that was a new learning curve. And we have a lot more of the alternative, like complementary medicine types than what I experienced in the States. So we have methods that are non, it's just don't it doesn't exist in the States. And I know there's like energy healing and like different, more alternative type of healings happening in the States, but it's just a different branch of it. It's coming more from the local traditional, like Native American and Native Indian tribes and like those cultural backgrounds. And here it's coming a lot from folk medicine. A lot of the traditional Asian medicine is more involved, more like feels closer than it was it in the States. And also a lot of them comes from psychology, like Germany and other like Western countries where some of the healing methods are established in science. So it's a little bit different. How we talk about health is a little bit different. And I guess like on that note, like every country will be different. Hungary is not the healthiest countries of mentally or physically in the region. So there's much more, like a lot of space to grow into for sure. And what's happening here right now with the government, and I don't want to go into politics because that's not the point, but basically what's happening is that people are shifting out from the government sponsored or the government paid for medical care because you can't literally get an appointment. Like your MRI appointment might be like 6 months out. And for somebody who's actually hurting, that's not really an option. We don't have enough personnel. We don't have infrastructure. It's not looking good if you think about the government healthcare centers. So right now, everybody's like funneling into private medical care. So that's an opportunity for us to create something where they get a little bit more than what they originally think they need, and they can actually get all the different types of cares and all the different types of modalities in one location. They wouldn't have to book like six different offices and six different practitioners. It would be like, okay, now here you go. We have the surgeon, we have a manual therapist, we have a massage therapist, we have a physical therapist. And also, if you want to talk about it, we have a mental health professional, we have a psychologist, we have somebody who could, do the energy part of this or do EFT or something like that and kind of surround this patient or this client with the team and kind of like catch them where they fall, like wherever they feel the need, wherever they have void or not enough support, we can give that to them. That's the whole idea.
That's really exciting to hear about that, because there's a that I think that's something that we all I think a lot of us imagine that that's a possible that imagine a world where that's the standard for healthcare. But to see that actually, to see the like a response to the response to the situation that you're in that you're in from a healthcare perspective in Hungary, to see the response from that framed in a positive light and say, oh, this is the situation we're in on a larger scale as a country. How can we respond to that and then like create something better on the other side of it? That's pretty amazing.
try to do something, yeah, out of the situation. Yes.
Yeah. And so when you talk, and this is something I'm really interested in, because you talk about, like, how, like, kind of blending together the mental health side of things and the physical health side of things, right? Knowing that, we that's that that the separation is a falsehood in the first place. And
It's
then you
an
bring
arbitrary
that,
separation,
right?
yeah.
And then you bring in this, like, when I think of, like, specifically when I think of, like, German psychology, I think of a very disembodied type of approach to psychology. And I think of, not necessarily when I think of folk medicines, because I think folk medicines are kind of are natively more holistic, because they're, but when you're blending that very mental, like, that kind of cerebral only modality with these mod with these other modality with, like, these more kind of physical modalities, right? How does h are you
How does
are
that
you
happen?
yeah how does it happen? And I think the underlying question to that is, do people kind of natively understand this, like, mind body connection and mind body interaction, or, like, the mind body system as a whole? Is that something that is that new is that a new is that new territory for people in Hungary, or does, like, the language support that? How can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, now I remember what we talked about, the language. And then now I kind of remember what we mentioned before. But yes, so like Hungarian is a very descriptive language, as in it's very visual, very sensational in a way. So we have lots of expressions about having a sensation in the body that expresses a situation or an emotion or a state of being. We have a lot of those. Literature, like Hungarian literature, is full with metaphors and full with writings and poetry that are very metaphorical. We don't like, I remember learning in high school, like, poetry that had nothing to do with saying, I love you or I hate you. It was all about pictures and all about metaphors and all about not even saying that, but just describing like a landscape and like, oh, okay, this is actually about his girlfriend or whatever, you know? And that happens, I think, in every culture. But definitely Hungarian, I feel like there's a lot of description of like how I feel and how I sense my body. Yes, so that's, I think we have it, we had it. There is a little bit more distancing from that just because of industrialism and just because people moving into the city and, you know, and globalism happens everywhere. However, the
Like, I was actually
difference
gonna
is,
ask about that. Like,
yeah.
how did communism affect this?
We moved to the city, so yes. And but like, however, what's different, and for example in the States, it's like I'm sure like the native holistic languages have that, but since America is built on people who went there from different cultures and then had to find one common language, and they didn't build on that native, like it didn't sprout from it, it came from somewhere else. It's not the same. We have a continuous past with it. We have a, like, even my grandmother or somebody's grandmother still lived in a small town where they had the wake at somebody's house, for example. Like, they had death at the house. They had death and sickness at the house. They had birth at the house. And it wasn't that long ago. It was 20, 30 tops years ago. So for us, it's very much at the back door. Like we're not that separated from it. I think we're more separated from it geographically. Like the cities are different than the countryside, and but it still lives very much in the language. It lives very much in people's head and like how they feel and how they express themselves. So that's kind of like an interesting, easy way. to find like the magic expression, the magic words that really describe what people feel and how they sense their body. So that makes it easier for me.
Wow, that's really cool. It reminds me of the idea of emotion concepts versus kind of universal emotions. That's the core of Lisa Feldman Barrett's work. Her book How Emotions Are Made talks about like the fallacy of universal emotions, where like I think a lot of us, like, this was the cornerstone of a bunch of like this is a part of a lot of what Ida Rolf initially talked about, was the universal emotions. Like big one for her was like in everything that I've seen was like related to Rolf is the like the image of disgust. That's like that always shows up, and that's like a foundation of like the premise of that is that everybody around the world can see a picture of somebody making a face that's disgust and understand what it is, which is not actually the case when you like, because you know in English our language is very focused on, is very inwardly focused, like it's, you know, it's I feel this, and it's like it's a physical language, but it's a physical language. We use physical metaphors and turn them inward, right? Like based on like describing our internal, our like our felt experience. Whereas it sounds like in Hungarian, the metaphors are outward metaphors. So you have like the language is more like, I think your use of the word sensational is right. It's like, it's not just the sensation that you feel in your body. It's the sensation of like, it's the sensation, like kind of a constellation of like the circuit of like what's happening around.
Right.
And it's like a very, like the nature of the language is fundamentally different. So we can approach things differently. I just think that's super interesting. I'm a big fan of how interesting
languages
work.
Yeah. I'm going to send it to you and we might post it in the show notes, but there's Language Nerds Facebook group that is amazing. And every once in a while, there's a post that comes out of the origin of languages. And it's a great picture because it's like there's a meadow or something and there's two trees. And then one tree is like basically every language that you can think of, from Indian to English to French to German to like everything. And there's like another little totally different tree where the Ugric languages come out, like Finnish, for example, the northern Baltic regions, and Hungarian. So it's like, it's on a completely different tree than any other the languages.
That's awesome.
So it's very cool. Every once in a while I see that and I'm like, yes, that's exactly how I feel. I feel like I can talk to people on that tree and that's about it. Like everybody else is a closed door.
That's fair.
Hence the English. Yes. So it's very interesting and I'm getting used to it because it was at first it was very hard to, again, like English was my therapeutic language in the States. So switching back to Hungarian actually took me some time. Like it took me more than 6 months easy to be able to say or express the same things that I was able to express in Hungarian for sure.
Wow.
Yeah. So interesting times. Interesting times. We're chugging along and building just, you know, one step at a time and just going forward with the thing. So in one of those next episodes, we can talk about the different nations' psychology and where they stem from, because again, like that's a very interesting topic also because of the language and because of the culture difference. That's a big thing too. Like how therapeutic can you be in a different culture? Like how helpful can you be in a different language that's not your mother language, for example, or not your culture. Any questions on that? How are we doing?
Yeah, that's just really interesting. I had to write down that one. That will the language of therapeutics is definitely an upcoming episode.
Yes, exactly. How translational that is. How much can you go over to one barrier or another? Do you want to share about how are you doing?
Yeah. So
it's been a long time.
Indeed. So Just Breathe Manual Therapy, about a month ago, turned two. So I've been running this. It's officially a toddler. It's been this past 6 months. I feel like I say this every few months. I feel like I'm really coming into its own, and it's interesting to look back and see how I have thought that in the past and how I was right. And then again, how it evolved as it's coming in, as it's continuing to come into its own. So this past summer, I didn't work with any off-season college athletes. My client base actually began to skew older than I am, which is very interesting for me, and very surprising for me. I also started to get, I had more organic new clients that found me via my website. Interestingly, finding me via my website, despite the fact that I have done absolutely nothing with it for most of the past, for pretty much all of this calendar year. And that's been all of those things have just been, I think for me, they are a reinforcement that doing the right thing and showing up and just like literally just showing up and doing my best is actually like, that's the secret sauce, which is not like, it's not sexy, but it works really well. So that's been really interesting for me. And it's been really gratifying. Like June, July, and August were the three best months that I've ever had, from a revenue perspective. Like it's just, you know, like things just clicked very well over those months. And from all perspectives, like revenue wise, as well as I think outcome wise, also I've been really happy with what's been happening. I found that I've felt very settled with my work, which is really helpful. So that's all been really just genuinely just exciting and very positive for me, and I think exciting and very positive for the people who come in and see me. Aside from that, though, it's really just been like show up, do the work, and just continuation of just serve people. And it's been, you know, it's good.
That's awesome. And I wanted to ask, like, so you saying that you kind of like saw different evolutionary steps like throughout the way, throughout the 2 years. First of all, congratulations, because I think hitting the 2 year mark for any kind of new business, it is a big deal. So I hope you celebrate it and keep celebrating it every day, because that's a big thing. And so like on those, like, do you see stages, and can you anticipate what's going to be the next one, or do you have a plan what's going to be the next one?
It's an interesting question. I did not anticipate the evolutions that have come. I think about it in the sense of taking whatever path that I've been on and experimenting with it. So when I started 2 years ago, I was really closely tied into a powerlifting community. I was pretty closely tied into a jiu-jitsu community. And I was like, and I approached it saying like, oh, I bet like these athletes, like these powerlifting athletes and these jiu-jitsu athletes are going to be, I believe, these folks are going to be my people. And that's not the case. Like they're
No,
not, they're
no.
not, they are like neither group, like both group, like I have a couple of people from both groups that stuck around, that stuck around. I've made some really great, I helped a lot of those folks, and it felt very transitional. And so I experimented with like, well, what happens if I lean a little bit harder into jujitsu? And I leaned it a little bit harder in there. I was like, not it. And then so I leaned a little bit harder in other directions. At this point, I don't feel like I'm actually leaning in any direction right now.
Where
I
you
feel like
need to
I'm,
lean,
yeah, I, and you know, one of the conversations I have internally is, why am I not leaning into anything in particular right now? Am I staying where I am on purpose, or am I staying where I am for some other reason? Like, am I doing it out of fear? Am I not moving? Am I not pushing based on fear? Am I not pushing based on laziness? Like, all of these things are possible, and I don't really know what the answer is. Selfishly, coming back to the podcast is actually like is part of me trying to figure that out.
Okay, so we're gonna have a therapy session here, guys. Just Okay. Well, for me, like I always think about that, like when there's a little lull, there's like a little plateau or something, it could be also a springboard. It doesn't need to be something that you're not doing. Maybe it's a waiting period to figure out what to do. Because that's another too, like we do so many things that every once in a while it's like, okay, wait a minute, I need to clear the board and figure out like what I want and figure out and then kind of like just wipe it down and see what's what, really.
Exactly. And for me, I think, at this point in my life, I could almost say that I'm in my mid-40s. I'm getting older, and at this stage in my life, there is a big part of me that's thinking about like what can I generate, right? Like, not just, not monetarily, not for me, but what can I, how can I help? How can I leave something behind? So I'm almost, I there's a big part of me that says like, maybe what I should be doing, and we'll cover this in a future episode, is like I love teaching. I love kind of that, like, I may not be involved in powerlifting anymore, but the Elite FTS, like live, learn, pass on, like catchphrase, like that philosophy, I think that's admirable. And so what am I passing on? And part of what I'm obviously what I'm one of the things that I'm passing on is like I'm helping people find helping people change their helping people to change their relationships to their bodies and what's going on in their body and how they feel, how they inhabit their body. What am I doing? What am I doing beyond that? Like, what am I, how am I going to leave the world better than when I showed up? And so there's this thought of like, oh, I should be teaching. I should be doing this. I should be doing that. And so that's kind of where a lot of what I think about is like legacy focused. Not that I'm like expecting to like die in a couple of weeks or anything like that. Like, but it is like,
But you start thinking about
but
it,
you gotta
yeah.
start like, it doesn't, it's not, I'm not gonna wake up tomorrow and be like, I'm not gonna wake up tomorrow and be able to pass everything on. But I do deeply care about being able to pass something on. So that's kind of that's the phase that's the phase I'm entering into. So I want to support that.
Yeah, okay. So that's a big bite. So that's gonna need some time and maybe preparations and everything and peace and quiet before.
Yeah,
That
exactly.
sounds like that's gonna be a lot of work anyway. So yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're happy with your business and everything, and your any surprises in the past 2 years or anything that is like, oh my God, I have never thought this will happen.
People bringing their kids to me. That was
Okay.
a really big surprise. And it's not something that happens all the time, but it has happened more than a few times where I've now worked with like the parents of like where I've worked with the parents of adolescents or like you know people in their like people between like you know like 12 and 19. I would not have expected it, and I've been very interested in how that's worked. That's like that's one of those things that's like super humbling where it's like, oh, you trust me enough to like bring your child to me to do this. And then like being able to work with somebody that's like 17 years old and who's just like, oh, cool, this is great. I want more of this. And like, all right, this is cool. Like this is a surprise and it's cool. And I appreciate deeply that it's happening. I think that's like for me, I think that's the biggest surprise. At least the biggest surprise that I've encountered. I don't know. Have you worked with younger people in your practice?
The same thing, same age, and especially in the mass when I was working with the gym. And on the Cape, like they had youth athletes, so they were mostly kids. Even in Galveston, few of them, but I was the same. I was always like, oh, okay, well, I guess, yeah, okay,
Like
fine.
I'll say yes, but and I don't know. Did you have like parent did you have parents in the room? Like how did you manage that?
I always offered, and it was always a possibility. Some parents didn't want, they were just like, no, it's fine, it's fine. It's like, they're like, and generally, like, those are the sessions when it was always like they either like the parent can stay in the room and the kids like stay clothed usually. So it was more like the sports kind of deal. It wasn't like, because, and it's also they can't stay still for that long. So it was more like the, okay, let's do this, and then we get up and move, and let's try this and get up and move, and all that stuff. So that was a way different session than somebody's like, oh, I just want to fall asleep for an hour and a half or two or three, and like, okay, you're just out. Kids are never out, so they're like always watching, and I'm like, okay, cool. This is kind of weird also that somebody's watching you doing your work. I'm like, okay. Please close your eyes, please.
It's definitely an interesting experience because I've had a little like I've also had both or you know work with somebody a few times and like parents in the room just like hanging out reading a book and then like eventually they just like leave. It's really interesting. It's a very interesting. It's an interesting situation, but yeah.
It was fun. It was fun. So,
Yeah, it is.
okay, so that's very good. Like, I'm, yeah, and actually, that, I mean, I think you did good, and I'm really happy for it because it is a big deal, especially nowadays and everything. It is a big deal. So, hats off and champagne, all my
Appreciate it.
champagne.
The upside to starting a business in the middle of a pandemic is that I can never, I will always be able to look back and be like, oh, that's when it was hard.
Exactly. So everything's gonna just get better. Like,
Right?
good choice. Yeah, there you go. That's how you choose your starting point. Exactly. Maybe I did this good here too. Like, everything is going south, so it's only gonna get better. Maybe. Maybe. We don't know. Yes.
Cool.
Anyway, so I think that's good, and we're doing different things, and I think that change, and I really love that part. I really love this part of building your own business, is that it's always so different. Like, you can tweak like a little things, and it's just like the whole thing shifts, and then you tweak another little things and nothing happens, and you feel like it's like, I what, like, it's hard to figure out what's gonna work. And that's what keeps it interesting to me. For I was like, okay, that didn't work.
That knowing that it's okay and it did something didn't work and that's fine and then we can just try something else that's pretty important for me is just know is how is that feeling that you know investment in finding the right thing and not a lot of investment in what the deep investment in finding the right thing while also not being terribly invested in whatever that thing is. Right. It's like, oh, if I, or whatever the thing I'm trying, right? If it doesn't work, it doesn't work, and that's fine.
And I just stop.
And I'll just try something else.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very quick reaction machine. I always feel like I was just thinking about it this today. It's like how like slow other bigger monster companies can be because of all these things. And it's like, I can change something tomorrow and nothing.
And then, and and give yourself a couple weeks, and like over the course of a couple weeks, you'll know enough to try something that you can try something else. Being able to do that is important.
Yes. Looking back and definitely observing, I know you did a good job with that, because we talked about in previous podcasts, like some of your data collection and everything. So I think if somebody's interested in that, like if you want to be analytical about your business, Jeff is your guy. If you want to be intuitional, then ask me and I'll be saying, I don't know. It depends. How do you feel? But definitely we had some good podcasts, and if somebody is listening, like it would be interesting to listen to those when we started, or 1 year out or 2 year out, because it's different changes. So thank you guys so much for listening. And we're going to come back again periodically, and hopefully on a good schedule. So thank you all for listening. Thank you for so much for, you know, holding up for 10 months and still being here. And we see you guys next time.
Thanks for taking the time to listen to this episode of Hands at the Table. If you got something out of this episode, have comments or topics you'd like us to cover, please let us know by tagging us on Instagram. Bori is at restore_revive_therapy, and Jeff is at Just Breathe Manual Therapy. We'd also appreciate if you can take a minute to leave us a rating, like, or review wherever you listen. It'll help other people find us. We'll see you next week.